Why do we praise our God? Is the title of tonight's devotion. He is our great God. That's the first thought from verse 1 to 13. And He is our ready helper, verse 14 to 21. He is a great God, attested by His works, verse 1 to 6, attested by His goodness, verse 7 to 13. And He is our ready helper, ready helper for the afflicted, verse 14, for the seeker, verse 15 to 18, for the God-fearer, verse 19, and for the devoted follower, verse 20 to 21. Psalm 145 is an acrostic psalm. It begins with the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So each one of the verse has with it a beginning. Right? The first word and the first letter comes in consecutive order of the Hebrew alphabet. So as to be able to facilitate learning, so as to be able to provide a picture, easy to remember picture, just like reciting our ABCs. You begin when you are probably before you learn to speak. Our parents teach us our ABC. And it becomes so much a part of us that without having to think, we are able to recite our ABC. So by using the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, it has that same effect. So a Hebrew child would have learned how to master the language from a very young age, and the way it is written would jog their memory, would facilitate their learning so that they would not forget. Forget who? Forget the Lord their God, the one who is sustaining their very life, the one who is blessing them moment by moment, day by day, month by month, year to year. This is how great our God is. And He wants us to honor Him for all that He has bestowed upon us. How forgetful we can be. But the Lord, through His servant David, gives to us, jots our memory to help us to not forget our God, but to come before Him with thanksgiving, to think about Him. And so this psalm is a psalm of praise, David's psalm of praise. And it is a good summary of life with God. It begins with praise, and it ends with praise. How important that it is that the Lord gives to us a grateful heart. A grateful heart will cause us to be able to thank Him for all that we have received. So we will not take for granted the life that we have. Why do God allow us sometimes to go through trials? So as to jot us up when we have forgotten Him. At times we can be, but through tensions that comes in life, God causes us to see and understand that indeed He is the one that is sustaining, in charge. And when we come before Him in faith, when we would worship Him, why? Because He's so good and so kind to us. But we have been so wayward. Oftentimes we said so rebellious. The relationship is mind-boggling. Yeah, on the one hand, you have, a spoiled child. Behavior of a spoiled child. And on the other hand, you see a loving father, a loving mother, waiting caring, concern about the child. And so this is the psalm that helps us to focus our hearts, our thoughts in thanksgiving. And this is how we can give honor to God. You remember we mentioned about the story of the 10 lepers when Jesus went to Samaria. And out of the 10 lepers in the village of lepers, 10 of them were healed, but only one of them came back to thank the Lord for all that he has done. And the Lord says that he has given glory to my name because he has remembered my goodness that was bestowed upon him. And so David, in this psalm, jots us to think how we can thank God. And, you know, to thank God is a very happy, heart-cheering mindset, a disposition of a man of God. That you are constantly aware that goodness is being bestowed upon you. Constantly aware that God's grace is constantly, God's favor is constantly being showered upon you, unmerited. You know, if you look at our human body, you would find that, you know, it can go wrong in so many ways. And yet it is functioning so well. We have our life, we have our appetite, we have, you know, our ability to walk, our ability to sit, ability to listen, ability to see. Wow, all these things, we must thank God. These are things that oftentimes we can take for granted. Take for granted. The psalmist says, how great is our God, attested by his works, verse 1 to 6. I will extol thee, O God, my God, O King. So there is a personal relationship that is linked to this prayer, this praise. And I will bless thy name forever. Every day will I bless thee. So he says that he will do so to thank God all the days of his life, even to eternity. And I will do so day by day, day to day. A thankful heart is a cheery, merry heart. We have been able to reconcile with God and be able to understand all the good that he's doing to us. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy goodness. God is the king of the psalmist's life, his best master. You know, every day when we wake up, we begin a new day because we know whom we are serving. We are serving a master that has redeemed us, someone who has paid his all to give us what we have, to make us who we are today. And all for all the goodness that is being bestowed upon us, the psalmist says he's thankful. And he would thank the Lord by serving him and blessing his name. And he will do this every day of his life, and he experiences why he's most worthy of praise. He tells us that God is great. He had the privilege to witness the mighty acts of God. You know, God doesn't have to do great miracles. But in the everyday acts of your life, you can see God preserving, keeping, strengthening, protecting. And we have many testimonies to tell of the goodness of God, the mighty deeds of our Heavenly Father were tokens of His love toward His children. And to the unbelieving, to the scorner, these acts are terrible acts. They could not see the good hand of God for their lives. But for the psalmist, the good pleasure of God blessing His children is experienced daily, so much so that He is able to say, "My cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. You have filled me so full that it has spilled over. I have not enough time to drink of all the goodness that you have given to me. A whole cup full and running over." And he cannot but declare the greatness of God's goodness. The psalmist experienced God's answer to prayer over and over again. And this is the life of the believer. Over and over again, as you call upon God, you find God answering your prayer, God helping you. And the children of Israel would do well to remember when God sent 10 plagues throughout the land of Egypt to free them from the bondage of slavery. The magicians of Pharaoh saw the finger of God, but for Pharaoh, he became more rebellious. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Every generation of God's people experiences fresh mercies from God that causes them to testify, "Indeed, our God is good, and we have followed Him, and we have experienced Him." For the psalmist says, "It's so great. What about us?" This is a personal psalm of praise, and it also jots us to think about how God has blessed us. He wants us to count our blessings. He wants us to think how He had been with you to help you. Just take this day, attested by His compassion. Verse 7 to 13. "They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy goodness and sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy." This morning we were studying the Exodus, and it was the time when God told Moses to hewn 2 tablets of stone. The first tablets that God hewn and wrote upon it were broken because of the open idolatry of the people of God. And there was corruption in the camp, and the Lord had to remove Himself from the midst of them. And Moses removed himself, and the tabernacle of the congregation of meeting was outside. And the people who repented, who were remorseful, came to Him, came to the Lord, and found forgiveness. And the Lord said to them that His presence will go with them. Because they were repentant, because they were remorseful, because they came back to God, the Lord healed their backsliding. And that's why the Lord told Moses, now you make two tablets of stone again, and I will write upon it so that my presence will go with you. And the cloud descended upon Moses and stood there in the mount. You see, our God is so merciful. If he had not dealt with us according to his mercy, that means what we don't deserve. We deserve punishment. But God was merciful to us. Will it not cause us to feel what a great God we have? To realize what a great God we serve? As we look at ourselves, so vile, so unworthy. But all whom God has cleansed, all whom God has brought near, and all who have received his grace, well, God must cause us to want to draw nigh to him, to praise him, and at the same time, to cause us to come to him again, to come to him, to seek him, and to find help, and to serve him. And you come to a stage in your life, you said that, Lord, here I am. Send me. You have received so much. And what do you do with the much that you have received? You're not going to be able to finish using all that God has bestowed upon you. And so the Lord lays that burden upon the heart to say that let your goodness be scattered abroad through me. Let your goodness be scattered abroad through me. And that is the beginning of great blessing upon the man who is fully surrendered, fully consecrated to God. And, you know, as you scatter, do you find yourself lacking? No. You will find that the Lord would continue to keep and strengthen and bestow upon you. Why? Well, because it is his delight to answer our prayer, to meet our needs, to bless our going out and our coming in. We have such a compassionate God. Such a good God. And when Moses met him in the burning bush, Moses asked, who are you? And God said to him, I am that I am. I am that self-existing, self-sufficient one. I am the one that is there from the beginning of no beginnings, from eternity past, and I'm existing to eternity future. And I'm the fountain of all goodness, the fountain of all being. Can we understand that? That he is the fountain of all goodness, the fountain of all life. Life itself comes from him. John wrote, he says, about our Lord Jesus Christ, in him was life. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. When we are connected with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, that is the kind of life that God gives to us. And when the psalmist used the word Lord, capital L-O-R-D, well, he speaks of that personal God, that relationship that he has with his God. He is my God. And the description here is a God who knows and feels the burdens of his people. Do you feel burdened in life? But do you feel or do you know, do you realize that God is carrying your burden? If God is not carrying our burden, we would have collapsed already. But because God is carrying our burden, helping us, strengthening us, giving us the grace. That's why He's sustaining us. What a personal, loving God. When we are in trouble, we can call upon Him for help. And this personal relation is so wonderful. It has to be experienced ourselves. Abraham experienced Him. Abraham called Him the Almighty God, El Shaddai, the God who is all-sufficient, all-powerful, and very willing to lend His strength to bless His children. This personal relationship the Lord brings before us. And here it speaks of the tears of God's people. The tears of God's people. How they poured them out to the Lord. And that there is that intimate relationship that we have with God that is cultivated, nurtured, that gives hope in moments of despair. And that is the greatness of that relationship. Verse 14 of our text tells us, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raises up all those that be bowed down. For the afflicted, the Lord supports those that fall by His everlasting arm." Psalm 37, verse 24 to 26. "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." Our Lord knows where we are, and He is able to help us. And the Lord wants us to realize, help us to see. Our Lord does help His people as they sought after Him. He will not condone their sins, but He is gracious to forgive them as they bring them before Him. So the Lord is nigh upon them that call upon Him, as Jeremiah attested in Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, the thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." You see, Israel has been wayward. They have been going after idols, and their idolatry has brought them so low. And the Lord said to them, that "Do not think that I do not know what is going on in your life. But," He says, "that my thought towards you is peace. My thought towards you is not evil. To give you an expected end, a good end." And He says to the people of God, "Call unto me, and ye shall go and pray to me, and I will hearken unto you." So good, isn't it? So good. When Moses pleaded on behalf of Israel, well, the Lord hearkened. "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." You see, what does God want from us? Our devotion. God will not stand a divided heart. But God wants, He's a jealous God. Next Wednesday, we're going to speak about that. How our God is a jealous God. He can not have a rivalry. Why? A rival. Because He is the bestower. God Himself is the bestower. There's no other. Satan would try. And you would see, you know, in that scene of open idolatry, what was happening? Well, the evil one was there, enticing, tempting, that the people may yield to temptation and that they may fall. It's so sad, isn't it? They may yield to temptation and that they may fall. And when they fell, what happens? Well, they all suffered. Suffered so much. The plague came upon them and they could not hide. How sad, isn't it? Yeah. But you see also, as we mentioned, God's kingdom advancing. Right? Israel moving forward. The law is given and they are marching on to the promised land. You see, God's kingdom cannot be thwarted. Jesus says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the advancement of his kingdom. And the Lord wants us to take heart amidst all the setbacks, as it were. Well, in the economy of God, well, you'd find that the advancement comes through setbacks. Why? Because if there is no resistance, why would there be resistance? Well, if not, Adam and Eve would have enjoyed paradise. Right? They would have enjoyed all of paradise and enjoyed forever and ever. But they were tested. And we would be tested. We would be tested if we would follow him. We would be tested if we would walk with him. We would be tested if we would be a devoted follower. And so here our text tells us, the God-fearer, the Lord is good not only to the afflicted, to the seeker, the God-fearer, verse 19 of our text says, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. You see, why is it that Solomon had to say the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom? Because when there is no fear of God in our hearts, we go after our idols. If there's no fear of God, we'll relax. If there's no fear of God, if we think that God won't come after us, then we are wrong. But the fear of God puts us, as it were, on our toes, you know. Causes us to be vigilant so that when the tempter comes to you, you are on the alert. You are not asleep. You are on the alert. You are able to ward off the temptations that come your way. You'd find the way of escape. And when we have the fear of God in our hearts, that's where we are able to find strength. So the God-fearer will seek to walk in God's ways, obey his commandments for his blessing and protection. Verse 20 to 21. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his name forever. The devoted follower will not be forsaken. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We are sealed, the Bible says, by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God dwelling in us means that the devil cannot possess us. No way. We can be tempted. But if God gives to us the strength in the heart, then we will not yield to temptation. We would be able to stand fast. We would be able to hold fast. We would be able to find strength to say no to sin. And Solomon says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." You are able to say no, and to say it emphatically. How important it is. And that is why the Lord provided for us this midweek prayer meeting. If we would not be recharged, then we would go at half tank. Right? Before you know it, halfway through the week, or three-quarters way through the week, you would be reach empty tank. And then what? Right? If you are a driver, you know, empty tank means that, right, you may be stuck somewhere in the middle of the road, in the middle of nowhere, stranded, vulnerable. We don't want to be vulnerable, because that's when we would be prone to be assaulted, prone to be attacked, prone to be grounded, and to suffer loss. The Lord doesn't want us to suffer loss. And that is why we urge that people of God must keep their time with God in prayer. Not just private prayer, but corporate, public prayer. Why? Because there is strength when the people of God would come together to pray together. When we pray one for another, we pray together. Together, there is a strength that God bestows upon us. And today, you may be the one interceding, but the next day, you could be the one being interceded for, because something has happened. And so, when we would, we say, cast our bread upon many waters, you'll find that, in time to come, it will return to us. All that we would do to draw close to God is never in vain. His blessings are so great. The psalmist testifies to us why he praises God. He testifies who God is to him and how he only is his true helper. May we too call upon him who are troubled and heavy laden. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for strengthening us with thy presence. God, we need thee, and we ask that thou would come to fill us. Fill us with thy spirit. Fill us with thy presence. Fill us with strength to live life. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.